Hello, friends. This is Alan Kirshner from Eschatos Ministries. The impact of Bible Prophecy Daily has exceeded our expectations, with regular listeners downloading all over the world. If you are finding value in these podcasts as they help you prepare for our Lord's return, would you consider giving to Eschatos Ministries? Simply click the support button in the corner of the podcast website at BibleProphecyDaily.com. Your support will help us maintain the delivery of this daily, one-of-a-kind podcast. Thank you.
You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Well, in life, we want to know why. We want to know why we should do this, why we should do that, where we should go as well. You ask your kids to do something, and what is the question they ask? Why? Particularly, they get in that toddler age and, you know, 6, 7, 8, you know, why? Why should I do this? And when it comes to Bible study, when it comes to studying theology, we also ask why. In fact, many ask, why study the end times? Why should we even bother doing that? Well, I hope to answer this today, and I do want to thank Dr. Alan Kirshner for his article, Why Biblical Prophecy Matters, because I have used some of that material in this, as well as an article that I wrote, and some additional things to answer this question. But before we answer why study, I want to answer the question, why some don't study? You know, so why don't Christians study biblical end times prophecy? Now, I'm talking about in general. There's a lot of other reasons, and of course, part of it is Christians who go to churches that may not be taught. You know, you may not hear about it. You know, do you hear a lot about prophecy at the church you go to? Yeah, I see a lot of no answers. And sometimes, you know, something may be mentioned or something like that, but this is not a topic that's very popular today. So let's look at some of these reasons. First of all, it's confusing. There are many views of end times. You cannot deny that. If you've been in the church any amount of time and do any study of end times, you know that there is so much out there and so many different details. Think about somebody who's new to the faith, a new believer, a new Christian, just starting to go to Bible studies and learn about prophecy. And you think, what in the world is all this about? It can be very, very confusing. You know, to whom do I listen? Who's a good teacher? Who's reliable? What beliefs should I embrace? What, you know, circumstances and all this other stuff? What's going to happen? Oh, it can be very confusing because everyone can't be right, but everyone can be wrong. And so somebody who's doing this, it can really be discouraging. You know, there's different views on the millennium, there's different views of end times, different views of the rapture, different views of the church, different views of Israel, and more. And it can be very, very hard to sift through all of these things. So what happens? The person doesn't study. He or she says, I'm not going to look at that. I'm not even going to go there. And related to this, number two, it's complex. Because it is confusing, it can also be very complex. So how do the prophets fit in with what Jesus said, or what Paul said, or what Peter said? You know, what events are actually even going to take place? And what about the timing? When are these things going to happen? And these can be very complex matters for somebody who hasn't been exposed to the end times. And of course, those who think it's too complex, they won't study either. So they just kind of separate themselves from it. Okay, I'll leave that to somebody else. And they won't study. So it's confusing, it's complex, it's also controversial. If you've done any study of end times, you know this is certainly true within the body of Christ. Many Christians are very passionate about their view. They defend their view, and they actually may call others who don't embrace their view heretics, fools, not Christian, and more. And of course, this leads to controversy in the church. For those who have been, you know, around Zion's Hope any amount of time, you know that when Marv wrote his book, The Pre-Wrath Rapture, he was extracized by many people And it's very sad. It's very sad. And it's unfortunate too, but while we should, by the way, defend what we believe, we should be doing that. We should know how to do that. If the view is accepted within Christendom, we have no right to demean other Christians who may not believe exactly what we believe. Because you know what? That's a love problem. It's not a theological problem. It's a love problem. We should know what we believe. Again, we should know why we believe it. But to demean someone else who Jesus died for, that's not right. That's not right. Here's another one that some people think. It's just conjecture. How many of you have ever heard this? Well, you really can't know what's going to happen. You ever hear that? Yeah, I see some heads nodding. Or how about this one? Who are you to say what will occur, or who are you to say that you have the right answer? Others say this because, there are so many debated views, so many debated topics. Even the theologians can't figure it out. So if they don't know, who's to say they can know what's going to occur prior to the return of Christ or even at the return of Christ? If they can't figure it out, and they're much smarter than me, then I can't figure it out. So it's really conjecture. It's an assumption. It's a guess. And connected to this, there are those who won't study end times because, well, they don't think it's going to affect them. Now, whether or not they believe they're going to be here when certain events start to occur is one matter. Or, you know what, I'm just looking for Jesus to return and nothing else is going to happen before that, so I'm not going to study. That's a dangerous thing. That's a dangerous idea, but it is prominent. They believe they won't be impacted by the events leading up to the return of Christ. Now, regardless of what view you hold, you will be impacted by events leading up to the return of Christ. Here's another one. It's confrontational. Now, yes, we talked about the confrontation within the church, but I'm talking about something else now. I'm not talking about confronting someone else. What I'm talking about is studying the end times confronts one's views on other doctrines. And you know what? Some people don't like that. They don't like to be confronted with something they may believe that's wrong. For somebody who believes that there's no millennium, to be confronted with the reality that God's not finished with the Jews and will bless them in the kingdom or the millennium confronts what they believe because it's connected to other things. Someone who does hold to a premillennial view is confronted with other views may become very uncomfortable. Well, they use the Bible too. What if there's some validity to some of those arguments? How am I going to answer that? I really don't know. I don't want to think about those things. Because what we believe about one doctrine is always going to connect to another doctrine. Our beliefs are not isolated. They're all connected like a web. What you believe about salvation is going to impact the way you tell other people about Jesus. How you view God's love for you is going to impact how you show love to others. So the expression of that doctrine as well is all tied to other things that we believe and what we hold to. Some people don't want to be confronted with something else because they don't want to admit they believe a lie. They don't want to embrace what Scripture says, and they say, oh, I just want to believe this. This is what I've been taught for this number of years or decades. I'm not going to change. I don't want to change. I'm going to focus on this. I'm not going to listen to anyone else. And that's dangerous. Now, again, we are to have convictions. We're to have beliefs. But we should also be willing to listen to others who may have a different view. Now, another one, when it comes to this concept of believing in the end times, they say, well, I just believe it's all going to pan out in the end. How many of you ever heard that? Yeah, most, yeah, a lot of you guys. Yeah, I call this pan-eschatology. It doesn't matter what you believe. God's going to take care of it. He's going to work it out, so don't worry about it. Don't study it. Let's just share Jesus. This is dangerous. At worst, or best rather, it's laziness. But it also denies the warnings that Scripture clearly gives on what to watch for. But you know what? When it comes to all these so far, it may be what people have been taught. This is how you're to think. This is what my leaders have told me. This is what my pastor has told me. This is what my Bible study teacher. This is what my Sunday school teacher told me. This is what my youth group leader told me. Whatever the case may be. And for some of us, and I include myself, it can be hard to kind of branch out and reach out and say, well, let's look at this from as best as we can from an objective point of view. Because in the end, you can't just say it's all going to pan out, whether it's panmillennialism or paneschatology or whatever, because you need to know Jesus is going to return, and there are some things you need to know very specifically about that before he arrives. Here's another one. It's collegiate. Some say, well, that's for the educated, that's for the pastors, that's for the professors, that's for the theologians to study. Again, let's just share the gospel. Let's just share Jesus and not worry about the end times. That's too controversial. It's too confusing. We can't talk about that. Now, this could be based on laziness, but it could also be based on a very gross misunderstanding of the end times, too. And again, it could be what some people have been taught. Other people could be scared. And I don't really want to get into that because that's really scary stuff. You know, Revelation and the animals and the beasts and I got to try and figure out, you know, where does this fit in? And I'm not really equipped to do that. I don't feel comfortable doing that, so it kind of scares me. And people say that. And you know what? It is scary. When you first start anything, you're scared. How many of you are parents here? How many of your parents? Raise your hand. Okay? Keep your hand up if you were scared when you had your child. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, whenever you start something new, it's scary. Whenever you start leading or evangelizing or doing a Bible study or raising kids or starting a new job or whatever the case is, a new chapter in your life, it's scary. So studying the end times can be scary, but you can't just say, well, that's just for other people. No, it's for every Christian because it's in the Bible. It's God's word. So it's not just collegiate. And again, some people may have been taught this as well. So there's a few reasons why people don't study the end times. Now, why should we study biblical end times prophecy? So let's look at some reasons for this. And this is where we're going to start looking at some of the verses. First of all, it's biblical. It's in the Bible. That should be enough. But let's explore this a little bit more. Because prophecy is in the Bible, we should study it. And it's estimated between 1/4 to 1/3, depending on who you ask, of the Bible is prophetic in some way, whether fulfilled or yet to be fulfilled, or whether it's some kind of pattern or picture of what was going to happen in the future. Now, there are more prophecies concerning Jesus' second coming than his first coming. And if you've done any study, you know that there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about the first coming of Christ. Now, there's some main ones, and there's minor ones that are fit under that, and implications of that. And all those were fulfilled. Therefore, we can expect the same accuracy regarding the prophecies about the second coming of Christ, that they too will be fulfilled, just like the original ones were for the first coming. And Paul told Timothy this. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, not to other people, but to God, as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. That's the word of God. So if you want to be biblically faithful, if you want to be faithful to God's word, what do you need to do? Study the end times. Now, this is not just about the return of Jesus. The study of eschatology is more than just Jesus is coming back. It also includes the doctrines of heaven, hell, eternity, and more. Resurrection is also included in there. That's all part of eschatology. So if you dismiss eschatology or the study of end times and all this, you're actually dismissing a lot of other doctrines and neglecting a lot of other teachings that you need to know about. It includes the fact that Jesus is returning, but it's much more than that. So studying the return of Jesus is biblical. Second, it's connective. Now, what do I mean by that? Studying biblical prophecy helps us put the Bible together as a cohesive narrative. One true historical story. Think about this. We start in Genesis, creation, the introduction of Satan, falling into sin with Adam and Eve, their decision. The promise that God gave in Genesis 3:15. I spent 8 sessions on that, 4 in the old and 4 in the new. About this seed, the Messiah who's coming, who's going to be through the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, Solomon, etc., 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 etc. And he's going to come, and then he came. And then he died. And then he rose again. And he himself says, I will return. I'm coming back. And he's going to return and rule and reign, which we see in the book of Revelation. So it helps us see a big picture of the scriptures. Because one of the problems we have as the church, we tend to view the Bible as a set of disconnected events, people, and places. That's how it's often taught, unfortunately. Everything within it contributes to the overarching plan and purpose of God. Now, as I mentioned this before, there are actually over 300 quotes or inferences or references just in Revelation to the Old Testament. The book of Hebrews, also very heavily connected to the Old Testament. So Hebrews and Revelation are very Jewish books, and studying them, guess what, gets you into Scripture. It helps you connect all the different texts. So it's connective. Number 3, it's conforming. We're told in 2 Peter 3:11 through 18 that actually understanding the end times truths in the context of the day of the Lord leads us to do what? To lead a holy and righteous life in the peace and power of Christ during difficult days. We'll look at some of the verses here in a little bit. The end times are not a theory, but are actual real events that are going to occur. And the church will be there as part of it. Let's look at a few verses here. 2 Peter 3:11 through 14. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people are you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming, the day of the Lord, there it is right there. Because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat or fervent heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth, in which dwells righteousness, or in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, here it is again, be diligent to be found spotless and blameless by him at peace. This section is bookended by how we live our lives, and the context is the end times, day of the Lord, God's judgment, and the coming of the new heavens and new earth. So it is conformative. Knowing these truths keeps us looking forward rather than spending all of our time looking around. Let me ask, what happens to us, and I include myself here, if all we do is look around at our circumstances, our difficulties, our problems, and our pain? What happens? Problems, depression, discouragement. We are of all men and women most miserable. But if we have our eyes on Jesus, recognizing that, yes, this difficulty is here, but it's going to pass. We're looking forward to his return when God makes all things new. We can not only endure the suffering we're facing today, we'll see that he's in that suffering with us. And he's preparing us to face the suffering that's coming in the future as well. And in the process, what are we doing? We're becoming more like Jesus. And that is God's will for each and every one of our lives. So studying end times gets us in the Bible, helps us to understand where we are today, and it really helps us to be conformed to the image of Christ, because we're getting into his word, and we're getting his word into us. And, by his grace, trying to live it out too. That's where we're conformed. And number 4, it's a blessing. Revelation 1:1-3 states there's a blessing for those who study the book of Revelation. And I would say by application and implication, end times itself and eschatology. You say, well, how's that going to happen? There's a few various possibilities, but think about it. If we take God at his word, we can be confident he's going to bless us through the reading and studying of the book of Revelation. And I mentioned this before, but I want to mention it again. When you talk to Christians down through the ages in other countries who've been persecuted, one of their favorite books is the book of Revelation. Why? Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Because they see that, and they may not be able to figure everything out, but they know, again, the main theme that I went over last time, God wins. And because I'm in Christ, I win with him. So no matter what persecution I face today, I'm on the winning side. And that gives me confidence to face the difficulties in my culture, in my country, in my life. Also, studying Revelation points us to God's character. I mean, think about it. You see Jesus there, you see him, you get the scroll, and everyone worships him, and all this, you see the character of God in the book of Revelation in a very unique way. And also worship. Every few chapters, worship, worship. Whether it's worshiping the beast or worshiping God. Casting their crowns, they sang a new song. There's this worship. Everyone praised. Yeah, yes, we know there's silence, and we talked about that. But Revelation helps you see God again in a whole new light, and you want to worship him even more. But you also see how he's going to bring together all things and then ultimately bring justice to this unjust world that we live in. He's going to mend the brokenness that we see. He's going to bring justice to every single circumstance down through history one day. And that is a blessing. That's something to look forward to in our lives. Also, it's preparational. 1 John 2:18 and Hebrews 1:1-2 were written in the first century AD, and both of them actually say we're living in the last days. Now, we're in the latter times of the last days now, you know, thousands of years later, but we've been living in the last days for quite some time. How far along are we? I don't know. And guess what? No one knows for sure. Okay? But studying biblical end times prepares us for what will happen and what Christians will face before the return of Christ. Are you ready? Is your church ready? Is your family ready? Are your friends ready? We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to start. You know, we don't walk around all mopey. No, that's where the other ones come in. Say God gives us hope. But it prepares us. And I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Christians will not escape persecution. Well, God would not hurt his bride. Well, first of all, I do not believe the church is the bride of Christ. I've done a video on that. And to say something that God won't hurt the church, well, what about all the countries where Christians are murdered every day, right now? Nigeria, Middle East, North Korea, and more. Doesn't God care about them too? Absolutely, they're his children. But to say that Christians won't be persecuted, it's not true, it's not real, it's not reality. Look around the world, look at Contact Voice of the Martyrs, Open Doors USA, other organizations that deal with persecuted Christians on a daily basis. I've met some of them. When you meet a wife whose husband was killed because he was a pastor, that's challenging. And when you meet others who are in jail for Christ, it's challenging because you realize we've got it easy. We should be thankful, by the way, but we also need to be prepared. And studying the end times prepares us for what is coming. Next. And by the way, it doesn't just prepare us, it should challenge us to prepare the next generation as well. Number six, it's maturing. Studying the end times is not just about gaining knowledge for knowledge's sake, but learning the truth which changes our lives. And as we study the end times and the Bible, we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Again, 2 Peter 3, that's verse 18. And what better study than the end times to learn of God's sovereign control over all history. Yes, we're responsible, but God's in control. He has the final say-so. What better study to give hope for the future and present during the tough times we live in than to study the end times? Paul taught about the end times at the churches he founded. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, let's look at one passage here. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 through 5. No one is to deceive you in any way, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and a man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, that's the Antichrist, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Here's what I want to highlight. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? How long was Paul in Thessalonica for?
3 weeks.
Paul was in Thessalonica for three Sabbaths in the synagogue, reasoning from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah, Acts 17, 1 through 4. Now, he probably did private teaching, as we have recorded in other parts of Acts, and discipleship with these new believers. He may have visited them again, but probably not because of some of the issues and problems there. You can go back and read that. So, he was discipling these people for 3 weeks, and what did he teach them about? The Antichrist and the end times. That's a challenge for those of us who are pastors and church leaders, by the way, and Bible study teachers. He taught them about the Antichrist. He taught them about what was to come. Why is that? He thought it was important for the church, but also for their own maturity as the body of Christ, as individuals and as a group. Number 7, it is corrective. I mentioned this earlier because studying biblical end times can correct our wrong beliefs if we let the Bible challenge us how and what we believe and what we think. This is part of the maturing process. None of us become mature without being corrected. I'm learning that with a 5-year-old. Because when we study God's word, what happens? We change. Our views sooner or later will be challenged, corrected, and changed if we're willing to submit to what God says. A lot of my views have changed over the years because I realized, oh, what I was taught was wrong. Anybody else there with me? You know, some of the stuff you're taught, you realize were wrong? It may not be, you know, rank heresy or anything like that, but just some little details here and there. I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's not what the text actually means. Oh, okay. What am I going to do? I need to be corrected in my thinking, corrected in my theology, corrected in my view of what Scripture says. Also, coming up, we're going through these here. By the way, again, some people don't like to be corrected. So if you are talking to somebody who has a different view than you, and they try to correct you and you try to correct them, do it in love. If he or she is a brother in Christ, okay? I want to emphasize that. We should not be using the end times to beat people over the head with it. Why don't you believe what I believe? That's not right. And you know what? Another reason some people don't study is because they've been hurt by people who have done that to them. So we should not be doing that. Next, number 8. Studying the end times is protective. Protective. Matthew 24, 3 through 4. And as he, Jesus, was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? What was the first thing Jesus said to him? And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. That's the first thing he said. Don't forget that. I just read part of this, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. No one is to deceive you in any way, for it, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the apostasy comes first or falling away, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Going back to 2 Peter 3, verse 17 this time. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard. Get your guard up. Don't have such an open mind your brain falls out, so that you are not carried away by the error of unscrupulous people and lose your own firm commitment. Wow. Studying the end times is protective. What do you notice in these passages? Let no one deceive you. Don't be duped. Be on your guard. Think biblically. the events surrounding the return of Christ. Learn these things. Study the end times from a biblical perspective rather than our assumptions, because studying that helps protect us from lies, sensationalism, and gross errors that many teach. Just go on streaming online. You'll find a whole bunch of nonsense. Think about this. When something happens in Israel, or any other number of things, there are many so-called, quote, prophecy teachers who will hype something up, often trying to sell their own stuff. Now, there's nothing wrong with selling the books you wrote. That's fine. But sensationalism has corrupted and confused the study of prophecy for a lot of people. Some, again, don't study the end times because of abuse by these types of individuals. There are those who want to be famous. There are cults who just completely twist and mess everything up and have a completely different view of what Scripture says. And some just want to be famous and make money. We must be discerning. Studying the end times from a biblical perspective helps protect us from false teaching, from false teachers, and not just from the cults, but from Christians who've taken certain things way too far and have become very imbalanced in what they teach. Now, I'm going to tell you something that may shock you. Okay, you ready? You ready? No one knows everything about the end times except God. Okay, I just want to let you know that. Now, we do our best to piece things together, yes. But we don't know everything. Number 9, it's evangelistic. Studying fulfilled prophecy helps us defend the faith and defend the Bible and then share the truth with those who don't believe in Jesus. Fulfilled prophecy is powerful in sharing Christ with others. It's a great way to share Jesus because it's reality, it's history, it is there. And somebody who tries to refute it just shows that they don't want to believe. So whether someone believes it or not, that's not up to us. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He convicts people. We don't. But we proclaim these truths to share the gospel, pointing to the reliability of God's word. Now, I want to go over one more thing. Responding to those who won't study the end times or won't study end times prophecy, and I give a warning to. Okay? First of all, let's go back to what we looked at earlier. For those who are confused, this person needs someone to come alongside him or her. He or she needs to help them study to sort through all these confusing aspects, answering their questions, pointing them to good resources, pointing them to good teachers. Help them study each view. Say, here's a few different views. Let's look at them objectively. I'll tell you what I believe, but I want you to be exposed to know that this is something that's been going on for a long time when it comes to these controversies and confusion. Start with the basics. Jesus is coming back, okay? That's basic right there. And build from there. Help them learn how to interpret the Bible. There's hermeneutics, there's biblical interpretation there too. And how to interpret the prophetic text, because there's specific rules and requirements that are within those prophetic texts that are very helpful. And again, I did a whole series, it's on the YouTube channel, on interpreting different texts in the Bible. Number 2, for those who believe it's too complex, those who think it's too complicated, agree, there are a lot of details. There's lots of text to study. But then help him or her sort through these things. Go through the complexities. Learn, again, proper hermeneutical principles of how to study Scripture. And ultimately, this is what is known as discipleship. And those who are lazy, challenge them to study. Challenge them. Jesus told the disciples, Matthew 24, 25, I've told you these things ahead of time. Paul gives details about the end times. I already mentioned the 2 Thessalonians passage, but also in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2, and of course the book of Revelation. And while we cannot know everything, and we should be very careful not to speak where Scripture is silent, we can know many things that will occur. So even though it is complex, and it takes time, go with this person step by step. Number 3, for those who believe it's too controversial, acknowledge that there are people who are so focused on the end times, they become jerks. Now, unless someone steps into heresy, one's view of the end times is not the test for their salvation. It's not a test to see whether someone's a Christian or not. For those who don't know, I oversee the social media for Zion's Hope. And I see some of the comments that you don't, well, I see all the comments that you don't see that don't get posted. Some from professing Christians. And if you're watching right now, don't post that stuff. It's not right. Some of the language that's used, the accusations that are leveled, it is very, very sad. Again, you have to walk with this person. And for those who've been hurt, or for somebody who thinks their view is the only way and everything else is wrong, start with the gospel. Start with the gospel. Help this person see that the return of Christ is a core doctrine of Christianity, but not to beat each other over the head with it. And for those who refuse to listen, for those who think they know it all, leave them alone. Let them live in their arrogance and in their ignorance, because you cannot change them. They do not want to be changed. Do not waste your time. Be discerning. Be loving, but be discerning, and sometimes you got to be bold and blunt. Number four, for those who believe it's only conjecture, here's an easy one. Start with the fact that Jesus is going to return. He says it himself more than once. Again, as stated, Scripture is clear, Jesus is coming again. And we can rejoice in that for sure. Show them where Jesus talked about it. Show them where Paul and Peter talked about it and more. Show them where the prophets talk about it. Show them Genesis 3:15. That's where we start. While many do make conjecture about the end times, and again, we all do our best to put these things together, a lot of times the question's about timing or when these events are going to take place, not if the events are going to take place. Now, there are some views of end times that say, well, this is not going to happen because we believe it's already happened in the past. That's another matter. That's another topic. But for most people, it is an issue of timing. When's it going to happen? How does this fit within this timeline kind of thing? Help them to see that. Help them to understand that. Number five, for those who believe it's too For those who believe it's too confrontational, again, I want to remind you, if somebody doesn't want to change, you cannot change them. And if you try to, more than likely they're going to dig into their own belief and be more firm in that. For those who don't want to study end times because it confronts others and their doctrines they hold to, encourage them. Challenge them with questions. Have you ever thought of this? What about this? Well, where in your idea or theology does this section of Scripture fit in? You're asking questions in a loving way. And then, of course, pray and ask the Lord to work in their hearts. But I will say this. You may need to dig a little bit deeper with this person, too. Maybe he or she has been hurt, as I mentioned. Or maybe they grew up with some specific convictions about the end times and they're afraid to let those go for various reasons. It could also be a personality issue. Some people just don't want to be confronted. So they'll say yes to anything. So maybe a personality issue too. Number six, for those who think it's too collegiate, God does not bless ignorance. Now, he blesses us in spite of our ignorance a lot of times. I'm living proof of that. But nowhere in the Bible are we told to be willingly ignorant of God's truth. Believing the study of eschatology is only for academics is just not true, and it is not an excuse to ignore what Scripture clearly teaches. Ask them, why do you believe it's only for academics? Again, simple question. Keep digging to find the real problem and remind this person that God expects us to study His Word, and that includes the end times. And last, I have a warning. That's why I did that in red with glowing letters there. As important as it is to study biblical end times prophecy, the Bible has much more to it than that. Don't neglect the other topics that Scripture is very clear on. Creation, the character of God, the nation of Israel, the church, our life in Christ, living the Christian life, loving others, praying for your enemies, humility, truth, love, compassion, making disciples, and so much more. If you only study prophecy, then you will become an imbalanced Christian at best. And at worst, you'll become obsessive about the details that you cannot know about until the things happen. And you'll turn into a hypercritical person. I've seen it happen. Maybe some of you have seen it happen too. Now, as we finish up, I do have a challenge again for leaders. What topic do Christians wish their pastors and Bible study teachers would talk more about? The end times. What topic scares most pastors and Bible teachers? The end times. Particularly the book of Revelation. So what do you do? While we study the end times again, don't forget there's much more to Scripture than that. Encourage your pastor, encourage your Bible study teacher, small group leader, whoever, to do a study on something about the end times. It may be very basic, but encourage him or her or them to do it. It doesn't need to include everything, but ask. I can tell you, most Christians are starving to know these things. And you, most of you mentioned that you don't hear about this very much in your church. Also, what are you doing with what you know about the end times? Are you sharing it with other people? Are you sharing it with your family? Are you sharing it with your friends? Are you sharing it with the people within your church or small group? I challenge you and encourage you to do that. Start sharing it with others. Are you preparing the future generations for what is coming? Are you equipping others to teach the end times as well? You don't have to be an expert. No one is. Say, well, I don't know this and that. Find out. Zion's Hope has a lot of great resources. Videos and articles and so much more available online for you to read and to watch. In addition to the magazine. There's a lot there available. And if it hasn't been addressed, just wait. It will be sooner or later. Now I want to read a few verses here before we finish up. Revelation 22, 12 and 13. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. To reward each one as his work deserves. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now, chapter 22, verses 20 through 21. He who testifies these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father and God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity and the freedom to be able to study the end times. And Lord, help us to talk to others and to encourage and challenge others to do the same. But Lord, help us to be protected from the idea that that's all there is to study. Because there is so much more to the Christian life and so much more to our relationship with you. So strengthen us, encourage us, equip us, and prepare us for what is now and what is coming in the future. For your glory, by your word, by your spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.